You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Lee Child's latest Jack Reacher novel, The Affair, is a prequel. It's set in 1997 when Reacher was still a military policeman and explains why he left the Army and became the vigilante drifter that he is today. The novel, which is published by Delacorte, debuted on number one on this week's New York Times bestseller list. There's also a film in the works based on the series. I'm very pleased that they bring Lee Child back to our show today. Hello.
Hi, good to be back.
This is your 16th Reacher novel. Your 8th was also a prequel, set even before this time. Do you feel that every 8 books or so, it's time to turn back the clock and fill in some of Reacher's backstory?
I know. At first glance, it looks very organized. I did 7 books, then the first prequel, then another 7 books, and now the second prequel. But really, no, I don't have a plan in that sense for the series as a whole.
Well, this story takes place at the end of Reacher's military career. Did your readers want to know why he left the military and began his solitary life?
Yeah, they've always wanted to know. I mean, that's one of the 2 big questions. The first being, what was he like when he was actually in the Army, which was the first prequel, the 8th book.
And he had more than just a toothbrush.
Yeah, he had the whole thing going on back then. Then the question was, why did he leave? Because it's clear that he has no bad feeling about the military. He's ideologically not opposed to it. So why did he get out?
So did you know all along, or is this as much a matter of discovery for you as it is for the reader?
Yeah, it is for me, too. I never think it ahead. I don't really have a bio in my head of his whole history. So it was a question of when I figured it out, the readers would find out.
You also have written a short story featuring Reacher as a child, haven't you?
Yeah, that was part of this summer's marketing experiment, really, to tie it in with the launch of The Affair, because The Affair mentions his brother. He's on the phone to his brother trying to get hold of him. And for recent readers, they're going to think, well, what brother? Because, you know, the brother is actually dead a long time ago. So I thought, well, I'll do the short story, go way back to when they lived as a family unit, Reacher at 13 years old. I thought that could be good fun.
This book is told in the first person, like some of the other Reacher novels, but there are others in the third person. Why do you switch back and forth? Why not just choose one point of view and stick with it?
Because I think I would always prefer first person. It's a very natural way of telling a story. It's what we all do. We all say, I did this, I did that. But for a thriller, generally speaking, or at least probably 2/3 of the time, you can't use that voice because you need to know what the bad guys are doing. You need that alternate point of view. The good guys are doing this, the bad guys are doing that, and sooner or later it's all going to collide. So generally speaking, first person doesn't work very well in this genre, but I prefer it if I can, and especially in this book, which has a very reminiscent, recollective voice. It's as if he's not narrating it contemporaneously. He's recalling it from some point far in the future.
In fact, he reminds us that 1997, when this takes place, is only 4.5 years before 9/11 changed everything.
Yeah, and that was part of the fun for me of doing this book was rethinking myself back to 1997, which isn't all that long ago, but having lived it day to day to day, we sort of forget actually how different the world was in 1997. In every way, everything was so much more relaxed, a little more optimistic. You could get on a plane with all your clothes on, all that kind of thing.
You didn't have to take your shoes off.
No, there was no thought of that.
But in an odd way, when you stick with a character this long, 16 books, you're writing the equivalent of a memoir, aren't you? And you're relying on memory in the way that a memoirist is.
That's right. And I think one of the points is the memory can be imperfect because people have said, I sometimes contradict myself from book to book. And certainly in the previous one-line answers to when characters have asked him, why did you leave the Army? He's always given a different answer, which I think is true to life. People don't go into a great deal of detail. People tell you what you want to hear, and that's what he's been doing. But now it was time to find out, all right, exactly what were the circumstances.
And if he had answered them in complete detail, it would have taken a whole book.
It would have, exactly.
When this book opens, Reacher is still an MP. He's sent to a small town in Mississippi near an army base where a young woman has just been murdered because the army brass thinks that a serviceman may be the killer?
They're hoping the serviceman isn't the killer because if he is, then there's trouble on a base that is very, very sensitive from a political point of view. So they're hoping that it was a civilian was the perpetrator and they're counting on Reacher to make sure that that's the outcome that is presented to the world.
And he's sent in as in undercover to check out the locals. there's an official investigator who's also sent to the base. Is that standard military procedure in this type of situation?
Well, I'm representing it as standard procedure.
You're making it up.
Making it up, and who's going to contradict me? Because the whole point about these investigations is they're secret.
But it's interesting. This may be the first time that Reacher investigates a crime as a civilian, even if it's a fake civilian.
Yeah, he says at the outset, what, I have to impersonate a civilian? And really, that's that right there is the origin, Reacher origins. He from that point on, becomes essentially who he's going to be later.
Well, he, as he tells us, he's never actually lived as a civilian. He grew up in a military family, went to West Point at 18, then joined the Army. Have you known people like him who've always lived in the military who don't know how to navigate civilian life? Because it seems to me one of your ideas here was to explore the differences between the military and civilian cultures.
Absolutely, and the dislocation that is caused if you try to step from one to the other. And I've met lots of people who grew up as military brats who have a very strange and partial and distorted education. They can absolutely name all the state capitals. They can absolutely tell you Lou Gehrig's batting average and all that kind of stuff. But they don't know how to work a payphone. They don't know where to buy milk, all that kind of stuff, because they've lived in such an odd world.
And he doesn't even own civilian clothes. He has to go to the PX to buy some.
Yeah, he...
And of course, that may be where he comes up with one of his odder habits, throwing out his clothes and buying new ones every few days, because he's never learned to do laundry.
Yeah, he's never had to. I mean, he's never been in that situation. And you're right, he buys a pair of pants and a shirt that he gets away with, but he buys a pair of socks from the PX also, which eventually are the thing that give him away, because the woman he's trying to fool, the sheriff down there in Mississippi, is an ex-Marine herself, and she has owned the same socks.
Well, but still, the way he acts with his clothes is kind of like that old joke of people who bought a new car every time the ashtrays were filled.
Yeah, and it's rigorously logical, which is typical of Reacher, that if he didn't do that, then how would he do it? He'd have to go to the laundrette at the very least, which implies some kind of commitment and some kind of plan, which he won't have.
My guess is Lee Child, whose latest Reacher novel is called The Affair. The woman you were talking about, is a romantic interest, Elizabeth Devereaux, an ex-Marine and the current sheriff of the county where the crimes take place. So this is an atypical love interest in a book of this sort.
It is. It's certainly a slight departure for the Reacher books, in as much as it's there's a lot of focus on the romance in this book. There's a lot of focus on the relationship between the two of them.
Well, she's as tough as he is, and maybe that's the kind of woman he has to meet to become interested in.
Yeah, and it's the kind of woman that my readers like. You know, these are not thriller bimbos who twist their ankle and need rescuing. I mean, these are seriously tough people in their own right, and it fascinates Reacher. It fascinates the readers, too, I think.
Now, you're British. Reacher is a very American type. Why did you want to create an American hero?
Because I wanted this kind of a hero, this knight-errant, mysterious stranger type of character, which has existed all throughout history, recurs every century in some different guise, but depends entirely on a dangerous, empty continent with the feeling of frontier, which is why it really disappeared from Europe 500 or 600 years ago, when Europe became a lot more settled and civilized. It migrated, and its last resting place really is the United States, because still, in parts of the West, it's a big, empty continent with secrets and with dangers.
Well, in the West, of course, we have the Western, but you're not following that tradition. You're following in the American detective fiction tradition. And Raymond Chandler had Philip Marlowe, Dashiell Hammett had Sam Spade, Mickey Spillane had, I've forgotten his guy, but they were all detectives.
Yeah, I think it's a blend, though. I think that this knight-errant needs employment in some plausible and realistic way, and certainly I think Raymond Chandler would readily admit that Philip Marlowe was really Sir Lancelot, but just working as a PI in Los Angeles.
Now, the books take place all over the country, from Florida to Texas, Colorado to South Dakota. This one is set in northeastern Mississippi. Do you travel to all the locations that you write about?
I will have traveled there, usually in advance for some other reason. And what happens is then that first impression sticks in my mind and becomes useful later when I think, where does this book need to be? I'll sort of dredge up from the mental database the particular place that that has impacted on me. And
have you ever been to Carter Crossing? Is there such a town?
Well, it's a fictional town, but there are certainly plenty of very similar towns. And I find that fascinating, the ebb and flow of history, how some towns are just left behind and become semi-abandoned, and whatever reason they had for existing in the first place has been removed, maybe by geography or transportation or something, and so they're left frozen in time trying to survive.
Well, this is the home of a military base where troops are being clandestinely sent to Kosovo.
Yeah, it's, again, typical of a base, you know, the frenzy of base building in World War II and afterwards suddenly resulted in some underutilized places, and the idea here is it's a Ranger training base, and it's being used secretly to house a couple of Ranger companies who are going in and out of Kosovo. Don't forget, this is 97. It's before that situation blew up, and they're trying to stabilize it in advance.
Now, in 1997, Reacher is 36, which would make him 50 today. Do you worry that he'll reach a time when he won't be able to keep up with the physical demands of his nomadic life?
I do. I mean, it's one of the problems, or the happy problems, really, of a long-running series, that you've got to start them somewhere, and you can't start them when the guy is 3 years old. So I picked 36 for the start of the series because I thought that was a reasonable age. And, of course, you've got no idea, will the series succeed or not? And if it does, then you're sitting in a studio talking about a guy who's 50 years old. So I think what I'm doing in the more recent books is I'm not being dishonest about it, but I'm not putting it front and center how old he is. We just assume that he's somewhere in his 40s and rolling along.
Some writers of long-running series find the need to take a break from time to time and focus on a new protagonist. Have you ever felt that way?
I really never have, because of that very early decision, which has turned out to be very wise, to give him no job and no location. If this were a series about a cop in Chicago, let's say, then sure, I might be a little frustrated by now, because every book is essentially the same thing. It's cop stuff in Chicago. But with Reacher, he can be anywhere and do anything.
Well, before you began writing the series, you had a career as a television director working for the company that made Prime Suspect, Cracker, and other detective series. So to some degree, is this like doing your weekly detective show, except it takes a lot longer to write?
It is very much the same thing. I mean, there is not that much difference between a popular book and a popular TV show or a movie. It's all swimming in the same pool, and it's more related than unrelated. Obviously, a completely different medium requiring completely different disciplines, but the audience is effectively the same. The same people are going to choose, do I go to the movie tonight or do I stay in with the new Reacher book? So it's a question of, I know that audience, and it wasn't that much of a huge leap to change medium.
Do you think the same audience that liked Prime Suspect, the British version, will like the American version that just started?
I think they should, except that the problem there is it's not so much an inadequacy with the American production, but time has moved on. The whole point of Prime Suspect was how difficult it was for a woman to be suddenly thrust into this top position. But we're talking 20 or more years ago that it was originally made. And whereas things are not yet perfect for women, obviously, they're a lot better than they were 20 years ago. So the sort of point of the story has disappeared.
And there's the first Reacher film is in production now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. They're shooting right now.
Based on which book?
One Shot, which was the ninth book.
Have you been involved in the production?
I've certainly been included. They're incredibly generous and inclusive and call me all the time, and I've visited the set a couple of times. And so I'm in the loop, but I don't have any kind of executive function.
Tom Cruise is going to be starring as Reacher, and not everybody is happy with that choice. Reacher is described as 6'5". You're that tall, too, aren't
mm-hmm.
you? Although I think he's a little heavier than you, 250
pounds. Yeah, he's about twice my size.
Tom Cruise is a slight little guy.
He is, and so absolutely. I mean, let's be...
And he'll be less physically intimidating than Reacher is.
Well, Reacher's physical intimidation on the page is expressed by the fact that he is a giant guy. But, of course, the magic of the cinema means that the other actors on the screen can act intimidated. They can create it as an ensemble. And from what I've seen of the early rehearsals and the read-through, it is going to be extremely convincing. I mean, that's one of the very ironic things about movies. In order to transfer the feel of the page to the screen, you have to change absolutely everything.
Was it fun thinking back to 1997 for this book when the people didn't have cell phones and Reacher has to find pay phones?
It was. It is. I'm always fascinated about how even a short period life can have been very different during that time.
Well, this is the end of the Cold War, or yeah, not long after it anyway.
It's the fallout from the end of the Cold War when we were readjusting our military aspirations and our military policies. What seemed like a good idea then was to have a smaller force and let people go.
So I'm assuming that there's a new Reacher novel in the works.
Yeah,
and
in the works.
It's taking place around now.
It is. It's a current day story, and I'm busy writing it now.
The Affair is the latest Reacher novel, and it is published
by Delacorte.
Delacorte. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.